Thanks to our engineer. Yeah. I want to thank you, audience, for tuning in tonight. This is Steven Siegel. Next week, Rachel will be back with me. You've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 o'clock to catch another Labor Radio show.
The 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Baby, you understand me now.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. Tonight, we're going to focus on talking about a political prisoner who recently passed away by the name of Tom Manning. Tom Manning is a white imperialist, anti-imperialist political prisoner, and we are going to talk about him a little bit, and we want to give some tribute to him, and we actually have one or two very powerful solidarity statements from these folks, and we're going to read those as well. One of those people who's going to discuss that with us is a former political prisoner by the name of Kazi Torre, who's with us live on the phone. How you doing, Kazi?
I'm peaceful, brother. How you be?
Good, man. Thanks so much for taking the time to be on here and to honor all the legacy and struggle that's gone forth. Do you want to take a quick second maybe just to kind of introduce yourself and maybe some of your background? You're based in Boston.
Yeah. Well, I've been in Boston this time since 92. When I was released, I was released in 91. And before that, I worked here doing a lot of work from, you know, tenant organizing to prisoner organizing and anti-death penalty organizing. But, yeah, and working around the Mandela, it was a concert we did in 79. That's around the time I met Tommy, you know. And we joined the United Freedom Front.
Can you talk a little bit more about Tom before we read some of the statements from political prisoners about him?
Well, I first met him in 1979. Like I said, it was 40 years ago around this time. It was right after we did a concert called The Mandela with Bob Marley. It was for the liberation movements in Southern Africa. And then from that point on, after the concert, I went underground with Tom. That's when I met him, sleeping on sleeping bags, listening to police scanners, in safe houses from Connecticut to Germantown, Pennsylvania. And, you know, he's just a stand-up brother all the way to the point of even taking pleading guilty to something he didn't do to get a lighter sentence or no time for a comrade, you know? I mean, that's the kind of person he was. And Biggs, you know, stun gunned him in the courtroom. They beat him down in the courtroom, and the prison guards beat him down, and the marshals beat him. And from those beatings, you know, he developed shoulder and knee problems that eventually crippled him. Ended up in a wheelchair, and from medical neglect, as I call it, medical murder, he died inside. Just sad, man. You know, he's due to be released, I think, next year. You know, but he's just a solid brother, you know, all the way. Come back from Nam. He was in Vietnam. They sent him back from Nam barefoot and shackled on a plane, landed in San Francisco in rags, had been in the hole for like 6 months, you know, or something, man. I don't know how long he had been in the hole, but he had been in there a long time in Nam before they shipped him back on a civilian plane, San Francisco.
Yeah, so Tom had passed away inside, and we have other people who were still inside who were U.S. held political prisoners. A lot of those names are not known by people, and that's unfortunate. That's, they don't know this history, and we have these statements from other political prisoners, too. Would you like to read the one that you have?
Sure. I have one from Jan, our other co-defendant. In our case, United Freedom Front, it was myself, Tom, Jan, Ray, and Richard Williams, and also Barbara Kersey, Carol Manning, Tommy's wife, and Ray's wife, Pat Labrador. So yeah, this statement's from it's from Jan, and he's currently in he's in McCleary Federal Penitentiary in Kentucky. And it starts off, Tom Manning, words of remembrance. Class war prisoner, freedom fighter, man of the people, long held political prisoner Thomas William Manning died on July 30th of a heart issues at Federal Penitentiary in Hazleton, Kentucky. Tommy, to his many comrades and friends, family, people that knew him, was a lifelong revolutionary freedom fighter. From the early 70s, Tom was a public activist and organizer, and later quite a successful armed militant and anti-imperialist in the anti-imperialist underground. He was captured in 1985, and some of his comrades became known as the Ohio 7, United Freedom Front. After many trials, Tom was hit with 58 plus 80-year sentences. 58, I guess, was with the feds, and 80 with the state. He was then thrown into some of the worst, harshest prisons in the United States. Being in captivity did not stop Tom from continuing to work and struggle for justice, freedom, and freedom, human rights, and the socialist and environmental sustainable future so many people and our planet so need. Tom struggled against abuses inside prison and continued to work for the independent struggle of Puerto Rico and Ireland. Palestinian struggle and then still ongoing anti-imperialist struggle in South Africa. In fact, Tom was very likely one of the two last anti-imperialist activists still in captivity anywhere in the world. Tom, of course, always continues to support the struggles of poor and working people in this country, the struggles of black people, native rights, and land issues against police brutality and abuses and murder of civilians, people of color in particular. Tom was an artist, an accomplished painter. His artwork truly captures some of Tom's essence. His portrayal of the dignity of working people, children and women, the strength and determination of revolutionary fighters and leaders, and more. A beautiful book of some of Tom's art was published in 2014, For Love and Liberty. That's the name of the title of the book. Now Tom is gone. My comrade, who suffered years of medical neglect and medical abuse in the federal prison system, your struggle and suffering is now over, brother. But your example, your words, deeds, even your art lives on. You truly were a Boston Irish rebel, a lifelong man of and for the people, a warrior, a person of compassion motivated by hope for the future and love for the common people, a revolutionary freedom fighter. We miss you and love you, comrade, and we will carry on the struggle. Jan Lahman, Ohio 7, anti-imperialist political prisoner. Black August.
Thanks for sharing that, Kazi. That was a statement from Jan Lahman, political prisoner, talking about the passing of Tom Manning, another political prisoner, who we have another statement from a fellow by the name of Bill Dunn, who's also a political prisoner, who is from also the white anti-imperialist movement. And I'm going to go ahead and read this, and it starts by saying, Tom Manning, soldier of struggle, comrade, friend, brother, artist, human, mighty tree in the forest who has fallen. The sound reverberates through everyone who aspires to positive practice in service to the struggle, he shared. I knew Tom more through his exemplary practice across decades and his comrades' experience of him than by having had the opportunity to hang out and roll out some practice with him. Except one time, a 12.5-hour bus ride from the Federal Transit Center at Oklahoma City to the U.S. Penn in Leavenworth, Kansas. We sat next to each other during the entire trip, notwithstanding the agents of repression, the chains and the bars separating us from freedom, just a window away. We freed ourselves by making revolution all the way. He was farther along in his understanding of what that meant in theory and practice, and showed himself to be all the above in elucidating that practice. I will not forget that trip. Some of Tom Manning will always ride with me as I try to make progress in the struggle. He will help paint the most equitable social reality in which all people will have the greatest possible freedom to develop their full human potential. That is our destination. Tom Manning, presente. The future holds promise. Bill Dunn, FCC Victorville, FCI 1, 9th of August, 2019, Nagasaki Day. The future holds promise. Love, Bill. For folks just tuning in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. And we're here with Kazi Torre, former political prisoner, talking about the passing of Tom Manning, political prisoner. Kazi, are there other things you'd like people to know about Tom, or another anecdote or what have you?
Oh, man. I think, a lot of, you could see through his art what he focused on,
mm-hmm.
Through his artwork, you see, comes out in that, his heart comes out in that, what he painted, he painted about, people from Vietnam, he painted about oppressed people from Puerto Rico, and South Africa and Native American people here and land issues. You know, he Davis was his paintings band. That was what was in his heart, mm-hmm. you know. And like I said before, you know, you can tell, you know, when somebody feels other people's pain and can feel that, I think that's what guides their movements. Mm-hmm. And he felt it more than some other people that's outside, maybe, you know what I mean? It doesn't make them get up and move when they see them babies in cages or, you know, people getting beat down by these pigs, you know what, or killed in the streets, you know? But he was the type of person that would want to go out and do something about it, you know? And right the wrong.
So inside Tom was still... More. Yeah, inside he was still able to create and also inspire a lot of people, especially folks who have been, you know, involved in work around amnesty for political prisoners and, you know, writing right. to him and getting, you know, all kinds of ideas and inspiration. So, you know, and Tom came from a period where there was all kinds of activity going on. I mean, there still is, but they're in some ways different times. The struggles very similar, but it has different, you know, dynamics going on now.
No question.
Can you talk more about that period that Tom was going through and everything?
Well, I mean, the times are different, but I think, you know, the other thing is this, Adam, like there's prisoners, there's political prisoners, like you said, that a lot of people don't know about. You know, they don't know the people who sacrifice to move this struggle forward, you know, and still continuing sitting inside sacrificing. People been in a long time, you know, 30, 40 years, you know, and longer. And it's just a shame that people outside don't know, you know, even though, yeah, you know, he probably got locked up before some of the people was even born, you know? Mm-hmm. But you have to dig for the history, man. You have to learn, because these people are not going to give it to you. These people, you know, those times were different. It was like coming back. We were trying to create, it got to the point where the FBI was saying, you know, like, if we don't stop these people from doing what they're changing the very fabric of the country. And it was true. You know, people were moving for peace. People were working and trying to build for peace. And they don't want any peace. You know, all they want here is war. And they try to keep people divided on every kind of issue, you know, that they can, man. So... I don't know, like, times was way different. The heightened contradictions were, you know, really clear. Or clearer. I mean, they're pretty clear now. You know, with Trump sitting in the office, they're pretty clear now. I don't understand, you know, why what's taking folks so long. I mean, I know there's a lot more security, technological security up now, the cameras and the cell phones, and you know, they can track people a lot quicker than they could. I'm talking about the cameras and things. People need to stop tearing that stuff down, you know, so they don't put it. They see police cars coming in the neighborhood, with, you know, they need to, you know, if they're only gonna protest and demonstrate and do stuff like that, that's cool. Then go protest and demonstrate to take that stuff out of the community. Tell them that we don't want that stuff no more. You know, all the surveillance.
So, I mean, it doesn't stop people from community organizing, and you've spent your whole life organizing.
It stops the other. No, but it stops the the extra organizing.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So you think that's how it's different from the kind of this older period?
Yeah. Then back then, yeah, I think now, you know, with the cell phones and with the tracking and with all that stuff, surveillance stuff, I think that has limited people's movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, cell phones, they're doing it in every country. You know? The youth in every country is stuck on these cell phones. You know? None of the struggles are the same. And Palestine is not the same as it was back then when we were struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Ireland is not the same, although it did kick up yesterday.
Right.
It did do a few things, you know, and there's some stuff going on in China now, you know.
Right.
So,
well, can you talk a little bit about the work today and what it entails on the ground you're doing locally, you're in Boston, what people are doing nationally around some of these other cases for different political prisoners. You mentioned Jan Lahman. We read a statement from Bill Dunn. So there's so many other people who are still locked up that you have been vindicating for so long, for their fighting for their freedom.
Yeah, it's Jaleel Muhtar King. He's supposed to be coming up for parole soon. And you know, look at Delbert Africa. He got taken out of jail last week, last Tuesday, I think it was. His whole bottom half of his body was bloated and swollen up. And I still haven't got back. I know Carlos went to see him on Thursday or Friday, and they had a caravan out to the prison, but he's not doing good. You know, and you know, we've had a few people. I think we could safely say they were murdered by, you know, medical neglect.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Tommy, just like Merrill Africa, just like Abdul Bashir, just like, you know, and some another Africa, Eddie, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, Phil. One of them, not Eddie, he just got out. So he died inside. And, you know, I think that, you know, they're doing a lot of it. You know?
Right. So, I mean, medical support sounds like it's one of the major areas that is crucial to currently defending political prisoner cases among just... legal support,
definitely.
Right?
Definitely. The people getting older inside, man. You know, people getting older. We're working around something now around Jaleel and around the Puerto Ricans. Even though, you know, it's just the anniversary coming up of Lolita Lebron.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, and definitely there's a lot of information about these political prisoners in various places online. One of those is with the Jericho Movement, and the mm-hmm. website is www.thejerichomovement.com is one place to find that. Are there other, you know, organizations, movements, struggles you think worth mentioning with all this work? You've been in the system inside and out fighting around these issues. So what would be your, you know, what would you like to tell people to... how to get involved or with maybe what they're already kind of working on, what would be successful?
Well, there's Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, there's the Mumia Abu-Jamal Coalition in Philly and New York, and there's, you know, the Animal Rights, Earth Liberation Fund. Is, you know, those are all those movements that are pressing to make change. Eventually, once they hit a nerve, they're gonna lock them up, and then they'll become political prisoners. You know, so in almost every movement, if they do the work correctly, they're going to end up being attacked, mm-hmm. you know, because they don't want change. They don't want the minute, the smallest amount of change they don't want. And they want everything to stay the same like it is or go back, even, you know, like Trump and them are pushing for, man. You know? And we, on the other side, people just got to stand up to that, man. They, you know, they got to fight back. You know, and it's like, people used to say, Cosby, you have to pick and choose, you know, pick and choose your battles, pick and choose. But Don Rafa said something that was really important. He said, no, you have to fight them all. Mm-hmm. You have to fight them all, man. You know, it's not like picking and choosing. Every one of them have to be fought. That's all I have to say about it, man.
Well, what does organizing look like in Boston these days, or the landscape of organizing around prison and or political prisoners?
Well, I think there's a lot of conscious people now of both issues. And here we got some things going on around water and the water contamination inside of a lot of the prisons here, because they're old and the mm-hmm. pipes are bad, and people are drinking and bathing in contaminated water. We have issues of them taking the money from every prisoner in Massachusetts and shipping it to St. Louis to a specific bank in St. Louis, and then it gets taxed 2% and then shipped back to prisoners in Massachusetts, and they get taxed on it again before it goes in their commissary account. They're trying to federalize all, they are federalizing all the businesses in Massachusetts now. Ever since last March, you can only have 8 people on a visiting list in medium security and 5 in maximum. You know, so all that stuff before, you know, you could just, anybody with an ID or driver's license could go in and visit anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, so all those things are changing, and there's some more changes happening too. I'm just trying to think of them off the top. The visitors, the water, the money, you know.
You've also had some events for political prisoners recently, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we have events up here. We try, we got something coming up, and we got like 3 or 4 events coming up and a play around Lolita LeBron on September 21st. And I'm trying to get a memorial for Tommy set up in the meantime. I'm trying to get, you know, the statements by Bill and Jan and collect it from every other, you know, whoever is sending in statements, and compile them in a little book or something, little thing. Mm-hmm. And I have a memorial for him up here. Probably, if I can do it by the 15th of September, then, but if not, it'll be in October.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll send it out to you.
That'd be great. And for folks who, you know, might be interested in this, again, this really like unique history, kind of, you know, hidden history in U.S., well, history of radicalism and revolution, political prisoners. Are there, what would you suggest for people to be able to kind of find out more of that history, as far as any good writings or resources?
Yeah, well, you know, on Jericho, she got Safia's stuff that she wrote about the formation of Jericho. She wrote a nice piece, her and Jaleel, on security. And we're studying in Boston, Jericho, Boston. You know, we have those 2 readings and some others about Sundiata, about updated history of New African prison struggle, and of course Mumia's books. You know, we're reading those as required readings.
That's great. And people can,
and they can check the website too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff on Jericho's website they could just pull down.
Yeah, that's www.jerichomovement.com. And you have been listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipelines at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Big thanks to our guest, Kazi Torre. Thanks, Kazi. Hope to have you back on soon. Big thanks to our guests and our great engineers. Free them all.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, unless otherwise noted. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday at 4:30 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Unity, a night of feminist Latinx BDX hip-hop, Tuesday, August 28th at 9 p.m. at the Dog for Lunch in Portland. Unity features